Pray with me, please. Gracious God, may the words now spoken be instruments of your living word for us all. May these be planted like seed in our lives and bear fruit in our thinking, in our believing, and our living through Christ our Lord. Amen. A woman went into a tea shop, ordered a pot of tea, and sitting down with it, prepared to eat the package of cookies that she had brought. The tea shop was crowded, and a man took a seat opposite her to drink his tea. He was Jamaican and black, and she was white, though these facts are not necessarily relevant to this story. The woman, reading her paper, took one of the cookies from the package. And to her surprise, the man took one too. She was irked, but returned to her paper, then took another cookie, and so did he. She glared at him, and then as she watched, he took the last cookie and broke it and gave half to her. She stormed out, walked quickly to her bus stop, reached for some coins for the bus, and there in her purse was her package of cookies. She had been eating his. Does the story show her to be a bad person? Not at all. It shows only that she didn't know where her cookies were. And naturally assumed that the ones in front of her were, of course, hers, and so was naturally annoyed that her table mate was eating them. Most galling to her, surely, was his smile when he gave her half of the last one, as this could only mean his mocking of her. How could she know it was a smile of kindness? That she was the one taking. That he was the one graciously sharing. She just assumed, that's all, that these were hers. And so had no idea that she was seeing everything wrong. All of us live with her problem. Our assumptions blind us, and assumptions are inevitable. They're embedded in us from our social location in the world and how we were raised and what we've read or heard and what the people around us believe and how our personal or imagined experience has been, not to mention the natural disposition of our particular brain to move through the world in certain ways. It adds up. Plus, it's just human nature to make sense of our world by organizing everything into patterns. And whatever doesn't fit the pattern is invisible to us, or if we see it, we alter its meaning so that everything in our way stays intact. Assumptions are lenses through which we see and sort and filter and imagine and magnify and ignore, and often that means we are mistaken, sometimes badly mistaken. There's a whole lot we think we know, and we don't know it all. So here's another story about mistaken assumptions. One day, Peter and John are going to the temple, and a lame man is sitting on the pavement begging and asks them for money. Peter said, "I don't have any money, but I'm happy to share with you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took the man by the hand and helped him up And the man took a step, and then another step, then took off running and leaping and laughing and shouting praise to God. Jesus had told Peter long ago, one day you'll be fishing for people, and now here he is hauling one up. Word spread like wildfire, and a big crowd gathered, amazed and gawking at the man, then at Peter and John. And Peter said, "Why does this surprise you? And why on earth are you looking at us? As if we had power or purity enough to do this. The God of us all did this. The God who raised Jesus from the dead." He's asking them to rethink some assumptions. Why do you think it was us? We're not wizards. We're certainly not saints. We're definitely not the point. The point is the power of resurrection. Starting with Jesus, resurrection is unleashed into the world, and you are looking at it now. And of course you also got Jesus wrong. Of course you handed him over to the Romans, though even they knew he was innocent. You preferred a murderer to live than for the likes of Jesus to live. So you killed the author of life. Harsh words, but then he adds some rather kind words at the end. "But friends, I know you did this from ignorance." Peter had reason to know all about doing things from ignorance. Jesus had said, "I must suffer and die." Peter said, "It does not work that way." When Jesus was arrested, Peter had slung a sword. He'd even said to Jesus, "I'll never desert you," but when the time of testing came, he was cursing, "I never knew the man." Peter, in truth, did not really know that man, nor did he really know himself. Friends, I know you acted in ignorance. So did I. What about our ignorance? The way we misread each other and other people and misconstrue the world. We do this with people in groups and even with our own loved ones. We make judgments based on fragments of experience. We see them through the lens of past events. We project stuff that isn't there. We have impossible expectations. We simplify, reduce, and judge. It's surely partly how we got to the present debacle of our politics. All of us having arrived at or been born into our opinions, we've all made sure to read and hear only the voices that confirm us in what we already thought and agitate us further. Which has naturally led us to flatten people on who disagree with us into caricatures, which they are generally also doing toward us. Back and forth the game goes until we are a nation of caricatures. And what of our assumptions concerning God? Oh no, God cannot be like that. We know what God is like. Really? God does not ask me to do this or to risk this or to change my mind about that. How on earth can we be so sure? How invincible is our ignorance of the holy. It is not difficult to imagine Jesus himself at the end of time speaking the very words of Peter to us Christians. You acted in ignorance. Annie Dillard tells a story from her childhood. One Christmas Eve, there was a commotion at the door that night, and her parents called out, "Look who's at the door!" And there in the doorway stood Santa Claus, a neighbor dressed in a Santa suit. She was terrified. She ran upstairs. To her, Santa Claus was like God. Unseen and omniscient. He knows when you've been bad or good, and she was certain she'd been bad. Her parents kept calling up to her. She could see him looming in the doorway, and she never came down. Her essay ends with these words: "It was I who misunderstood everything. God, I am sorry I ran from you. You meant love and only love, and I felt only fear. So once in Israel, love came to us incarnate, stood in the doorway between two worlds, and we were all afraid. Our ignorance, our fear, how often are they one and the same?" The end of Peter's speech to these people is a little bit surprising. "Repent," he says. "Turn to God." Can that be quite right? I mean, if we didn't even know what we were doing, if the problem was misunderstanding, is repent really the right word? Repent of ignorance? Yes. Given the meaning of Peter's word for repentance, which literally is have a changed mind. A changed mind might have its beginning in saying something like this: God, show me where I have been mistaken. Being human, I will always be wrong about something, but help me please do better than this. Open the eyes of my life to see others more truly. Let me perceive your world more clearly and see myself more honestly. And look for you more deeply. Keep me gratefully open to surprises and revisions of how I perceive, to the kind of changed mind and life that your compassion for us all would have me make." When Jesus was dying, someone close by his cross heard him pray, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That prayer was answered in the raising up of the one who prayed it and who still invites us and helps us to see by truer light. To stand in that light is to see a great many things differently and more clearly. And to go on seeking an always rightly changing mind is to learn that the Spirit will lovingly and faithfully keep making it so.